to win.
Blog Talk Radio.
See, I did it before the dang thing started. Welcome to Women of Wisdom, everyone. And today I'm blessed enough to have, I guess I would call her one of my she heels. And her name, one of my she heels that I'm honored enough to have on my show, is Myra Golick. And she is a model, she is an advocate for the disabled. She herself lives daily in a wheelchair, and she hosts her own talk show on TalkShoe.com called Dancing on Your Disabilities. And I had the privilege, I don't know, 4 years ago now, to be on her talk show and share my story. So I'm really honored to interview one of my she heels, someone that I look up to in the disabled world, and you get to hear her speak beautifully and hear what she has to say. And so let me bring her on to Women of Wisdom. We are honored to have you on. And as I said during the interview, during the intro, I'm sorry, not during the interview, you're one of my she heels. I don't know if you know that, but you're a person that I look up to. And my first question is, why did you retrain yourself on how to be a disabled advocate?
Well, thank you, first of all, Wynn, for being so kind and giving me this opportunity to speak to your listeners and to let you know that I feel really the same about you. I love what you're doing, and I know that you will be and are continue to be a huge success. Why did I retrain myself? Because this is very simple. I grew up during a time when civil rights was in the news, women's rights were in the news. It was right about the time in 1973 when the first Disability Act was written, years before the ADA. And in many ways, as difficult as it was, because we were coming out of centuries of bigotry towards anyone that was different, but in another way, it made me feel very lucky because I was in the right place at the right time. So I fit the bill. I was racially diverse. I was disabled by polio severely at the age 10. I was a woman. And I also had a Jewish last name. So if they were going to hire anyone during that period, it was me. And I was more interested in hiding my disability than being an outspoken advocate, which I regret at this point in my life, because I feel that people with special needs need to band together and need to raise their voices so unfair social stigmas and bigotry will go away and they get used to dealing with us on a level that we deal with everyone. It doesn't matter if we're trained and skilled to do a job. It doesn't matter if we're blind or we can't hear or have CP or post-polio syndrome like I do or whatever it is. We're just people with the same feelings as anyone else and should be judged the same way as anybody else, and not judged by the fact that we have a challenge. So that's why I became an advocate.
That is going to make me cry. Oh, great. Now you people are going to make me cry. Well, for those of you who do not know, as Myla said, she was in a time where no disability rights were ever given to her. So, and I was partially in a time where no disability rights were given to me. When I first started in school, way back in 1991, the Americans with Disabilities Act was still in draft form. And so I agree with Myla when she says people need to band together to make one common cause here to stand up for what we believe in. And it's amazing to me how much spunk you have to do this. I mean, there are days I look at your Facebook and I think, okay, I'm going to do this. And you look at my Facebook has nowhere the amount of articles compared to your Facebook, but I try to do what I do based on what you're doing. And so let's talk about your show and your books, Dancing on Your Disability. Explain to me what the concept of your radio show is.
Okay. Dancing, the show itself is called Dancing on Our, O-U-R, Disabilities. The book is called Dancing on Your Disabilities. And the show is a forum where people can come on and inspire and motivate other people to rise to their greatest level of achievement by motivating them, by sharing stories of how they overcame obstacles. Let's face it, it's a challenging life if you have some form of special needs, whatever it is. It's going to be challenging. And sometimes we need to hear from other people how they did it, what their attitude was that got them to the point of taking back and owning their life, not just existing, but enjoying and flourishing in their life. Because there are so many obstacles that people with challenges face that no one ever realizes. Like, oh, I forgot that at the store. Well, if you're mobily challenged, it's not just jumping in the car and jumping out of the car, racing in, getting that one item you forgot. It's a whole big deal. So it is a challenging life, and I want everybody to live as if it were their last day, to enjoy it, because I've been around a long time on this planet, and I did myself struggle with feelings of low self-esteem. And we've all heard the expression, your value does not depend on anybody else's inability to see what you are really capable of, your value. But if you get enough doors closed in your face, and you get enough comments from people that are negative, those people, or however they refer to someone with a challenge, you know that your self-esteem gets a blow every single time it happens. We fight back and we raise our voices, but there's no one, I think, on your listener list that has a challenge that is not going to accept the fact that it does hurt every time someone makes us feel that we are less because of the challenge. So I wrote the book, Dancing on Your Disabilities, to support anyone who feels so depressed they don't want to take another breath. because I've been there, and I know what it feels like, and I know what it feels like to feel like you are dancing to the music in your spirit and your heart. And that's what I want everybody to do. We are valuable people. We are people who add to society, and we deserve the recognition. So that's why I wrote the book. I told my secrets. I told everything. And on the radio show, it's about my guests and what they can offer the listeners, like you. I'm so proud of you. You're like my daughter. You're wonderful. And what you do is spectacular. So that's what Dancing on Our Disabilities, the radio program, is about. And Dancing on Your Disabilities is a memoir self-help book.
Well, as I said a year ago, I came out on your show, and I said to you, I Come a Win is a self-help book. I Come a Win was not written as a self-help book. I Come a Win was written as my journey with cerebral palsy. But now it's turned into a self-help book, and people want my wisdom. That's why I've now got my own blog talk radio show, because people want my wisdom. But at the same time, how do you tell people to stop and smell the roses and get into a better position than they are in now?
Well, I wrote about that in the accompanying workbook, Focused, Unstuck, and Back in Action. It's about being in transition. It's about feeling negative. It's about having thoughts that you're not worthy and being stuck and unable to move forward. No one comes to a pity party. No one. I don't care whether you serve imported hors d'oeuvres, caviar, imported wine. You're only going to end up drunk and alone, because people are unattracted to negativity and very attracted to positive people. So regardless of what your problem is, when you remain positive, when you become aware of your thoughts, and if your thoughts are bringing you down, you must learn to change them. And I have a real method in that book on how I did it, because I was taught how to do it. And I do it all the time, because it can flip. You can be on top of the world and something happens that brings you down, and you find that the negative thoughts pop up again. Well, you have to work on getting rid of them. And for me, it's really about gratitude. It's about gratitude. It's about passion, perseverance, and the ability to connect with people and find connections that you like and experience what you've experienced. And together there's a sharing and there's the ability to lift one another up. So
there is the ability to lift one another up. And I'm looking at the clock here, and with 15 minutes, my God, I didn't realize time flies when you're having fun. But with 15 minutes, what would you say to my listeners who are listening to this program and who are stuck and who don't know how to get out? Would you say, get help, or would you say go to someone you trust, or would you just say let Win or I help you the best we can? Or what would you say to someone that was a little bit stuck?
Yeah, that they've lost hope. all of the above, to tell you the truth, because I don't want to be presumptuous and make the assumption that somebody who's depressed is not having a clinical depression. But depression is usually short-term. Our moods go up, our moods go down, they're influenced by things that happen in our life. But if you're finding yourself in a place of limbo, sitting around, not growing, not moving forward, or maybe worse, moving backwards, then you need to take action. And it's really not that difficult to do. What a person who does not have a serious mental disorder, just circumstantial depression, they need to first of all examine who they really are, what will make them happy, within reason. And, I mean, you know, you can't tell somebody who's 95 years old that being what would make them happy is to be 25 again when we know that's not going to happen. So you have
we
to
definitely know
out.
That's not going to happen.
Not in our lifetimes anyway. But what you have to figure out is what is it that you really want within reason. And then you have to take action, baby steps. Perhaps it's just finding out what career would make you happy. And then picking up the phone, finding out where you can get the training, what options are available to you, what agencies can help you, what programs offer training or internship or even volunteer work where you can get a feel for what it is that will make you happy. Isolation. So if you're sitting at home feeling that you've lost hope, that this is all there is, you got to get out of the house. You've got to get out.
Yeah.
And you have to interact with people who have great ideas that can help you discover your own talents, and we all have them. Each and every one of us has special abilities. So my advice is turn to Wynn or turn to me or someone like us that can see beyond the place that you are stuck in. Does that help?
That helps. That helps. And I agree with that. You guys can turn to all of us, and we'll help you see the light at the end of the tunnel. And, of course, I have my support crew who I have had my ups and downs moments with, and they said, okay, well, we'll stand by you, we'll give you ideas as to how to do this. And they've been wonderful. They have been wonderful. And I don't care if it's a group of 10 people, or I don't care if it's one person that you can lean on, but just have that outside perspective. Just have that outside perspective. And I think that's what Maya was saying, too. Am I correct in saying that?
Absolutely. You know, I'm going to tell you a really quick story because I am looking at the clock. I have been through so many transitions in my life because what I have is progressive. When it first hits you, you have the initial damage, and then you get a little bit stronger and you resume your life. In my case, it took 7 years. And then it comes back and gets you again. So what I was doing for a living at that point in my life was no longer an option for me. And I was way too young to retire. In fact, I'm not the type of person to ever retire. They'll be throwing the last bit of dirt on my grave and a hand will come out saying, wait, I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
So I at a certain point in my life, I was told that I had to slow down because I was only creating more damage to my body by all the stress I was putting on it. So I was horrified because at that particular point in life, I was making a very substantial income. And I said, what? What? Sit home and be a couch potato? No way. And I cried for about 3 weeks. And that's what I mean. Nobody comes to a pity party. Even my kids didn't want to talk to me. I was so horrible. My husband, they were all, oh, gosh, stay away from her. She's awful. And I asked myself, I went into bed one day, and I stayed in bed for about 24 hours feeling really miserable. And I stopped and said, well, if you could do anything in your life right now, what would it be? And I came up with an answer. And the following morning, I got up and started making phone calls and decided to go to vocational rehabilitation and be trained for a completely different career that I could do at that particular time.
How cool is that?
Yes,
how
that's
cool
what you
is that?
Do. Yeah, you have to just keep moving forward. You cannot stay stationary because that will bring you down, and eventually you'll move backwards.
How cool is that? And that is dead cool. And yes, they all rehabilitation centers. They all voc rehabs. Even though I have access to voc rehabs. Actually, I have access to voc rehabs all across the country, if I wanted to. And what you have to do is decide, okay, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it, and then get the help. It doesn't
Absolutely.
Take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You just have to be ready to do it.
Well, you know, it's support. Sometimes you need to be egged on, and very often people do not have the surrounding support team that they need. They may even be amongst people who tell them that you can't do that. Why do that? Why don't you just accept? But I don't agree with that. If it's in your heart to do something more and it's going to bring you happiness in your life, because let's face it, what's more important than being happy? Not even money is as important as being happy. Happy is what purpose is about. It's about what passion brings you. So find out what it is that you need. And by the way, you asked me what made me decide to become a disability advocate.
Yes.
Well, I went to vocational rehabilitation once again because it happened again about 7 or 8 years ago. I couldn't do what I was doing, and I had to retrain once again. And I figured, wow, I can help other people. And that's my mission in life, is to make other people that feel like giving up understand that they are special and they have a lot to offer society.
Well, that is cool, and that is how we're going to end it, because I'm looking at the clock and we only have 5 minutes left. So what I would recommend that you guys do is go look up Myla on Facebook, or go look up Myla's books on
Amazon
and fun with them. And I, as I said, this woman is one of my heroes. I'm lucky enough to have her grace my show. And it's going to make me cry because I never thought I would be willing and able to interview one of my heroes. And one of these days, we're going to meet in person. I don't know when, I don't know how, but we're going to definitely meet in person. And we're going to have a nice conversation about how we can help the world.
We're going to be on the platform together.
Oh,
speaking to people.
We're going beyond the platform. Yep, we're going beyond the platform, speaking to people. And so I appreciate you taking the time to be on my show and sharing your wisdom.
Well, thank you so much, Wynn. And I love your book, and I love what you do. And keep up the positive work. You're an inspiration to everyone. And you're always welcome to visit my show again and talk about any updates and things that you're doing. And thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. And I hope you guys enjoyed another powerful episode of Women of Wisdom with one of my she-heels, Myra Golick. And she's just a fascinating woman. And I'm sorry that we didn't have enough time to go into her story. But you can find her on Facebook along with me. And we'll help you guys best we can. Thank you, guys.